Welcome to the Vintage Church Podcast. Vintage Church is a movement of truth, love, and community. For more information, visit VintageChurchNola.com. Here is this week's message.
The thing about Mother's Day is, Matthew Weaver was saying it earlier, like for so many people, it's magical, right? I mean, if you're that first-time mom, you have that opportunity to celebrate and just be so thankful, or maybe... Maybe you're pregnant and you're waiting to meet your child, and you get to celebrate that. As a dad, it's an awesome opportunity, right? I had my kids sign their mom's card today, and this is the first year that Gabe can like actually write his name. So he's like writing his name. He took up 3/4 of the card writing his name, but he was able to write his name in the card, and then I was able to rehearse with them to say Happy Mother's Day, and that was a feat. That took some time. But I also recognize that there's challenges, right? This year for my family is a difficult year. This is the first year for Rachel that her mom's not here. And today's a hard day for her. For others, as Kara shared, you know, and in the next gathering, we're going to have another mom on the panel who has struggled with miscarriages and the loss of children. And so it's a tough thing, and it's a beautiful thing all at the same time. But really what I want us to think about this morning, and this is a sermon for moms, but dads, dudes, I don't want you to tune out. Because the reality of life is that all of us have the opportunity to leave a legacy. And that's really what we're going to talk about this morning, is a legacy. And how to leave a legacy as, particularly as a mom, but also as just a follower of Jesus. If you're not a mother, but maybe you are a woman, like you have the opportunity to be a spiritual mom in the lives of so many people, right? You have an opportunity to invest in other women, to lead them and to raise them up to follow the Lord. And so I want to ask the question this morning, Mom, what's your legacy going to be? I want you to think about that, right? That's the question that I know, well, I don't need to worry about my legacy right now. I'm 25. You snap your fingers, right? And you're 60. And you're like, if you haven't thought about your legacy, all of a sudden, wow, what's my legacy? I want to introduce you to some very important women in my life. I have this picture. It's a terrible picture, but three very important women. You might not be able to see them. That was me in high school. Yes, I was a band nerd. Don't judge me. But the woman on the far left is my grandmother. That's Granny Faye. That's what we call Granny Faye. The woman in the middle is my mother. That's Mom, a.k.a. Dara. And then the woman that I really want to introduce you to, they're all special, okay? But even my grandmother and my mother would attest to this, is the woman next to me. That's my great-grandmother, Granny Dude. That's what we called her, Granny Dude, okay? Myrtle Viola Smith. She passed away 2009. She was about 83, 84 years old. Up to the day that she died, she would get on her roof, clean her gutters out. The things that she wanted for Christmas were like a snowblower in Ohio. We needed that. An electric chainsaw. Pressure washer. I mean, those were the kinds of things that my great-grandmother wanted. And here was another picture of me and her at my college graduation. She was a special woman. I had the honor to do her funeral when she passed, and it was one of the most incredible things, but also one of the most challenging things I've ever done in my life. And the reason she's so special is she laid a foundation in my life of loving the Lord. I was a little boy, and I would spend the night with her, and we would go to bed. And when my great grandfather passed away, she was a widow for about 20 something years. He passed away in their early 60s, and so I would spend the night with her a lot. And one of the things that we would do is she would teach me to pray, and so she would lay there and she would pray the Lord's Prayer out loud, and then she taught me the children's prayer, right? As I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And I will not forget those moments. Those moments where Granny Dude instilled in me what it meant to pray. And at that point, I'm five. I have no idea, right? I have really no idea the implications. But now, as a 32-year-old, I know how significant they are and the foundation that they laid. That this woman who was someone who loved unconditionally and showed me what it meant to love like Jesus. She wasn't thinking about the kind of legacy that she would leave that would then be invested in her great-great-grandchildren that she never even met. But that's the importance of a legacy. And that's really what I want to talk about this morning. We're going to look at a mother and a grandmother in Scripture that kind of gets glossed over, that we don't see all of the time. We're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, lift up your hand. Our Connect team would love to get you a copy of God's Word. We're going to be there and then also in chapter 3 as well. And so we're going to talk about Timothy. 2 Timothy is a letter that Paul wrote to kind of his young protege in the faith, and Timothy was a pastor. He was a younger pastor, and one of the things that we learn in the book of Acts is that Timothy came from kind of a blended mixed family as well, and that his father was Greek and his mother was Jewish. And from at least the context, it seems like Timothy's dad was not a believer, but his mother was. And so some of you might have been raised in a family like that, where you had one parent who followed the Lord and another who didn't. And I just want this morning briefly to show you and see what we learn from the example of Timothy's mom and grandmother. Let's look at 2 Timothy, starting in chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Paul writes to Timothy, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." Now turn to chapter 3, verses 14 through 15. Keep in mind, Lois and Eunice and their investment in Timothy, and hear what Paul says starting in verse 14. "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." So in two places in this letter, Paul does something very important. He just briefly reminds Timothy of the significance of his mother and grandmother, the legacy that these women gave to Timothy. So I just want to take these two passages and briefly show you the three necessities for leaving a legacy. Three necessities for leaving a legacy that I think we see from Lois and Eunice, Timothy's mother and grandmother. The first thing is this: sincere faith. Sincere faith. Paul says this right up in the very beginning, that I am reminded in verse 5 of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother and your mother. What does it mean to have sincere faith? It's free from pretense. It's wholehearted. It's authentic. It's a single-minded commitment. Right? I mean, it's knowing that what you say you believe, you honestly and really believe. There was one time when my great grandmother Granny Dude and I were together, and my mom was in the hospital, and she and I were just talking, and she was sharing with me things about her childhood and her faith. Where she would often say, you know, if you know, we would be talking about doing something, and she would say, "If the Lord wills," because she always, or like the last 10 years of her life, she was like, "Well, if I'm still here, honey, we'll do this or that or whatever." I'm like, "Granny, you're not going anywhere. Stop." Right? But the reason she said those things is because it was sincere faith that she had. What she said she believed, she genuinely believed. And she lived her life like that. That's the kind of faith that Paul is reminding Timothy to have, because what was modeled for him was sincere faith by his mother and grandmother. To have faith, though, that's not just sincere, but it's faith, is to have the content of your faith, what you believe. Timothy was taught by his mother and grandmother of the good news of Jesus Christ, but it's also to trust in that content. Right, if you go at that chapter 3 right there when he talks about scripture, that's the content of our faith, that it is enough to save. And so Lois and Eunice, they had sincere faith. Paul says, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. This faith, this sincere faith, was a faith that was passed on to Timothy. Timothy had sincere faith in the Lord because he saw two women who had sincere faith. It was a legacy that was passed on. Moms, question for you. Do your children know what you believe, and do they believe that you actually believe it? Do they know what you believe, and then when it comes down to it, do they actually believe that you say, that you believe what you say you believe? Is your faith so real in your life that it's obvious the things that you're teaching your kids are real to you? We were just talking about, right, foster care. I am blown away by the foster moms in our community, in our church. Like, yeah, seriously. Like, just knowing, you just got a taste of it. Knowing some of the stories, I mean, I don't have words for it. And then to get, like, Morgan, to get a 9-year-old. My consolation in all of this was, well, at least they come out as a baby. So, like, I can have time to mess up and get it right. I mean, a 9-year-old, I'm like, my son is 6, and I'm just like, uh-oh, this is bad, right? But as foster parents, man, have the opportunity to invest in children that you immediately have to begin to bond with. And you can't, listen, you can't fake it till you make it with a 9-year-old, right? I mean, I can fake it till I make it with my kids when they were little, but kids smell that stuff out. And as a foster parent, it's like, you have to believe it. When you say they need Jesus, they know whether or not you're lying to them. And they see whether or not this is actually something real in your own life. We have to have sincere faith. And listen, yes, today is about thinking about a legacy for a mom. But listen, the greatest thing that you can do for your children, the greatest thing that you can do for your children is choose to follow Jesus. There is nothing greater that you can do than choosing to follow Jesus for your children and then living your life following Jesus. And as a mother, as a parent, listen, I want to implore you, if you do not know Jesus, if this sincere faith that we're talking about is new to you, the greatest thing that you can do is right now commit your life to Jesus. The gospel is the good news that saves us, that yes, we were born into sin, but because of what Jesus did on the cross and resurrecting from the grave, when we repent and believe, we can be saved. And that is a message that doesn't just save us and change us, but that we are able to give to our children that will change their life. To see the story of Maria up here, right? A mother to a daughter. And now she has granddaughters and great-granddaughters that the gospel is impacting, right? If you want to leave a lasting legacy in your children's life, know Jesus and follow Jesus. Another necessity for leaving a legacy is not just sincere faith, but number 2, a strong character. a strong character. When Paul talks about that idea of sincere faith, remember, that's to be sincere is free from pretense, wholehearted, authentic. It's not hypocritical. So what you do matches with what you believe, a faith where belief and action are consistent. And what Paul says as he reminds Timothy, this sincere faith is coming from knowing from whom you learned it. And Paul is referring to not himself, but Lois and Eunice. That this character that you are to live with, Timothy, is something that was modeled for you. That was demonstrated to you how you're supposed to live your life. Your mother and your grandmother lived it out. They had strong character. One of the things, and just a few sermons ago in our status series, we talked about the Orange family values. I don't know if you remember that. And I kind of laid out some of these things for you. If we want to see a church raise up the church of the future. And I want to remind you of one. One of those was make it personal. Let kids see how you strive to grow so they know how to handle their own limitations and pursue character and faith. Right? Your kids, moms, should see your character worked out. Right? I mean, it's one thing to come here on a Sunday and experience, and you know, all of us who maybe don't know you experience one side of you, but what do your kids see at home? And then when they see you here and they see you at home, do those line up? Right? That's not easy. But that's what it means to have character. And to have strong character. That our kids would see us live out the faith that we actually believe. One of the things that you know, you just have those people. Granny Dude was one of those people, like, I could say nothing bad about her, right? I mean, how you have those people in your life, right? And I mean, I don't want to say anything bad about her, right? But number two, like, literally, I look in her life and all I see is strong character. If you're going to leave a lasting legacy, are you going to have strong character? A few weeks ago, I was on a trip with some other pastors, and I was talking with a church planter in Detroit, and I can't even remember what we were talking about, but he was telling me about, I think we were talking about being an early riser versus a late nighter, and he's an early riser like me, but he also has kids who are early risers, right? My son likes to get up around 5:30 in the morning, so, you know, I used to like to get up early because I'd have quiet time to myself, and now that quiet time is, hey, Daddy, can we watch Monster Trucks? 5:30 in the morning, right? Nothing better than Monster Jam. But one of the things that he shared with me that was just simple but just incredible is he said, like, when his kids would get up and he was already up and he was trying to spend time with the Lord and read and be in the Word and prayer, he told his kids, listen, no TV, nothing, because right now is Daddy's time with Jesus. And whether they liked that or not, they knew what their dad was doing. Their dad modeled for them what this time meant. That one day they too would carve out that time. Part of me praying with my children is being reminded of every time I was with my great-grandmother and her praying with me. And now it's you know, my daughter is, Gabe doesn't like to pray. He'll pray every once in a while, but he likes Daddy to pray. And then Emmeline will pray, and she'll say, thank you, God, for the office. Amen. It's cute, right? But it's the model of Rachel and I praying with our kids that is encouraging them to pray. Leaving a legacy of strong faith. And the last is this. If you want to leave a lasting legacy, the third necessity is sacred scripture. 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul says this, and how from childhood you have been what? Acquainted with the sacred scripture. The reason Timothy had been acquainted with the scriptures is because his mother and his grandmother taught him the scriptures. They found opportunities and ways to invest in Timothy to let him know about Jesus through the Bible. They found ways to invest the stories of Scripture. Most of these were not the New Testament stories that we know today, but the Old Testament stories that Timothy grew up in and learned and understood. Moms, let the Bible be your primary guide for raising your sons and daughters. Let it be something that they are hearing from your lips, that you are reading and investing in them. Let them be hearing stories about Jesus and the Old Testament saints and the prophets and God. Let them see from you, just like I talked about with that church planner, that you are the one investing in time in the Bible, that you are reading Scripture. Let them see that, because there's going to come a moment. This is the important thing about legacy. There's going to come a moment in their life when they're going to make a decision in regards to what they're going to do. In all of these, I mean, there's going to be a decision. Will I follow Jesus or not? And their decision to follow Jesus will be partially based on your decision in following Jesus. Will I choose to read the Bible? Their decision to read the Bible will be partially on your decision to read the Bible because of what they've seen in your life. And listen, let me say this, because this is so important. If you're a stay-at-home mom, I want you to hear this. You don't have to believe it, but it's truth. And if you're not believing it, whatever else you're believing is a lie. Okay? Your job is probably the most significant job you can have right now. Now, I'm not saying anything against working moms. I'm not saying that's wrong. There's nothing wrong with that. But in my family, Rachel stays home with our kids. And I'm constantly encouraging and reminding her that you have one of the most important jobs right now. Because for the next 6 years or so, you are investing into our kids, and who they will become is partially based on what you are doing at home. And let's just not stay at home moms, any parent. I know it's tough when you work 40, 50, 60 hours. It drives me nuts that I see Pastor Brick more than I see my family. Have you ever thought about that at work? That you see the people you work with more than your family. I mean, that's just, I love Pastor Brick, by the way, but I'd rather see my wife and kids, you know? But as a parent, your greatest responsibility, your greatest work is going to be who your kids are. And what the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years looks like. And so I can't encourage you enough. Make scriptures count. One of the things that we've been talking about a lot, and we've actually got a table out in the lobby, is different Bibles for kids at different ages and different reading levels. And I'd encourage you, if you have kids, go out there and take a look at that table. We also have the F260 Bible reading plan for kids. We bought some more copies. They're at our resource center. If you want to take that, that's just a great thing to take and bring your kids through. But find ways to invest in your kids, teaching them the truths of the scriptures. One of the other things that we talked about with the family sermon, the parenting sermon a few weeks ago in Status, was the Orange Family value of creating a rhythm. And in that, what they talked about, we didn't really talk about this whole too much, and I want to just share with you what these rhythms are. And this is very practical. So I would encourage you to write this down, because you might want to take this and use some of this. What does it look like in our to use the rhythms of our life? Things like mealtime, drive time, bedtime, and morning time. Put them all up there. We'll talk about them. Mealtime. At mealtime, maybe you're having a formal discussion where you're acting as the teacher and you're beginning to establish values in your kids' lives. During your drive time, you're having informal dialogue, right? Gabe and I talk about monster trucks and superheroes on the way to and from school. where I become his friend and I help him interpret life, what he did at school and what he's learning and how he's growing. At bedtime, you have an opportunity for more intimate conversation where you're a counselor to your kids and you're able to build intimacy into your life, into their lives, knowing that letting them know that you love them and that they should love you and you love God and they should love God. In morning time, maybe encouraging words where you're a coach and you're instilling purpose into their lives, right? I mean, this is just kind of a paradigm, but just imagine if you took the rhythms of your life and the scriptures that you're reading and pouring into their hearts and lives, and you begin to think about, okay, how can I infuse the truth of scripture in these different times, right? Intentionality. Choosing to leave a legacy. What would happen if we took and we thought about our sacred scripture and we used it to leave a lasting legacy? I want to close with going back to thinking about the question, what will your legacy be? And this morning, I want to encourage you to respond in a few different ways. On your seat, everybody probably saw a thank you card. You're like, what in the world are we doing today? You're thanking me today. I'm kidding. The first thing that I want you to think about doing today is thanking a mom. Right? Maybe your mother is still on earth. Maybe you have a grandmother. Maybe you have a spiritual mom. But to take an opportunity to write a note and to simply say thank you. I think one of the things, hopefully, as we've gone through this sermon, is you have gratitude for the women in your life that have served as mothers, whether they were a biological mother or whether they were just a spiritual mom, but that we would have gratitude for our moms. Number two, trust Jesus. And what I mean by that is if you are a mom or even have the possibility of being a mother someday, trust Jesus. Choose to follow Jesus. Trust the gospel. Repent of your sins and believe in Jesus. Become a Christian. Because the greatest thing, like I said, the greatest thing that you can do as a mother is choose to follow Jesus. And so trust in Jesus. We have these connect cards. And listen, maybe today you are trusting in Christ as your Savior. If you are, fill it out. Check that box at the bottom. Just let us know that you've made a decision today so we can follow up with you and care for you. We've got some baptisms coming up. We'd love to be able to baptize you. Number three, live for Jesus. I want you to think about your own life. I mean, just think about what's going on in your life. How are you or how are you not living for Jesus? How does that impact your kids, your family? What do you need to change? And lastly, lead your kids to Jesus. Right? Lead your kids to Jesus. For some of you, that means, yes, directing them specifically to the gospel and calling them to follow Jesus. But for some of you, it's continuing to be faithful, to read the Bible, to pray with them, to show them what strong character and sincere faith look like. But let's lead our kids to Jesus. Moms, you have a huge job. And we can't thank you enough. But as we close this morning, I want us to think about what will your legacy be? What will your legacy be? Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for this morning and the opportunity that we have, God, to honor and celebrate moms and all women, and we thank you for them. God, I thank you for the women in my life who have left a lasting legacy. And I pray this morning, Father God, that as we respond to you, God, that we would think about those things. We would think about the legacy that has been left to us, the women in our lives that we need to thank. But God, we would also think about our own life and the legacy we're trying to leave. And Father, that today maybe we would take one step closer, God, to leaving a legacy that honors you and leads to lasting change in our children's lives. And so help us this morning as we respond to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.